Podcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. From firefighters, police officers, doctors, retail workers, heroes are on the front lines all over New Mexico during this pandemic. At KNKT's Star 88, we want to give them a shout out of thanks. We're dropping off food items and treats in the name of our stations and you, our listening family. This announcement is paid for by Monroe's Restaurants and Latitudes. We appreciate their sponsorship very much. And we're always reaching out to try to encourage people. And one of my favorite people to talk to is Dr. Brian Nixon. Brian oversees the education and publishing for Calvary Albuquerque, and he's an assistant pastor. And we're usually talking about theological subjects and stuff like that. But we're going to have some fun today. Mix it up a little bit, talk about your new book called Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture, and we're going to talk about the importance of the arts. Welcome.
Well, thanks, Jim, and I am excited about this as well because, as you said, we normally do talk theology or philosophy, and though I think that's fun, there may be people out there that get some yawns when you start talking about those deeper subjects. So when you approached me on doing a topic on Christianity, arts, and my forthcoming book, I thought, wow, this should be a really fun program and a little bit different than what we normally do.
Well, and Brian, I get to know you. You've been on the program, regular contributor now for close to a year.
Right.
I've been here on the station since June, so year's coming right up. And you've been very gracious, and I know you as a writer and a teacher. I've seen you in the pulpit at Calvary Albuquerque. I see a lot of the work that you do with Skip Heitzig's books and the publishing department. You're always publishing articles on ANS and a couple other things that we see very frequently. But most people don't know the personal side of Brian Nixon. Like, I've asked you on the show before.
Yeah.
You were part of a rock and roll band
musician.
So
that's right.
Talk about your past, and let's start with music. Why is that important to Christians?
Well, okay, let's start with my past. So as you pointed out, while in high school, I was in a post-punk band, and we played a lot of underground clubs in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. And then the band kind of split. Some members went one way, and other members went a different way. And myself and two other guys got signed to a secular music label. And what we were doing at that time is we were kind of integrating punk rock, if you will, noise, with hip-hop.
Wow.
And, yeah. It was way ahead of our time. I don't say that in kind of like pat your back. It just coalesced that way. A couple of the guys went on and had successful careers in music. As a matter of fact, a music documentary, award-winning documentary, was made about these fellas. I'm not going to say the name of the documentary, just because there is some not good stuff in this particular documentary. But they did well for themselves and continue to do well. But we were signed in 1988-89, and the label at the time was saying, boy, we don't know what to do with you guys. I mean, you know, you were punk rock or, you know, post-punk, and now you have these hip-hop elements. What do we do with you? And basically they said, we don't know what you're doing, but we know it's going to be the next big thing. Mm. Well, after that, Jim, I was a Christian at the time, and I just started to go, boy, is this what I want to do with my life? And one day I sat down with one of my college professors at the time, and Dr. Joseph Steinke, and I said, you know, here's my options. You know, I could quit college and try to make the most of music, or I could stay in school. And Professor Steinke said, well, Brian, you know, it sounds like your music thing is a big passion, and that sounds great, but I would keep one toe in school. And I respected him greatly, and so I kept one toe in school. And then I just really felt like I wasn't supposed to be with this band. Mm-hmm. And so what I did is in 1990, I left the band and I went to work for a church. Mm-hmm. And it was at that time I formed a couple of other bands. And one of the bands, we were signed for a one record contract with Rick Wakeman, who's of the rock group Yes.
Yes.
So Yes, Rick Wakeman was the keyboard player, and we were called Widow's Might. And Widow's Might released three albums, I think, in total, one with Rick Wakeman and Hope Records. So my musical past is pretty complex. I mean, I grew up in a musical family. I entered in the rock and roll world, and I did both secular and Christian music and met some tremendous, fascinating individuals. You know, which goes to the second part of your question, which is why is music important? And I think music is important because, first of all, it originates with God. God, in the final analysis, you know, you go back, he's the one that created music. And so in creating or participating in music, we are in a way mimicking the creator. But I think secondly, music is also important in that it is a way to give due honor, what we call worship, back to the Lord. So music is just one of the means, you know, that we could say, Lord, thank you. And I think it's a pretty profound thing to take something that God ultimately created, music, and give it back to him. But that's how it is in all of life. I mean, you know, the very breath we're breathing, we're giving back to the Lord. So music is incredibly important, as you know, part of, you know, the Christian faith, but part of humanity in general. There isn't a culture on planet Earth that doesn't incorporate some type of music within its existence.
Well, and Brian, I think that a lot of people I don't know a lot about classical music, but started about a year and a half ago to start to listen some of it and enjoy it. And then you start reading about these composers and about the considerations of faith and the dilemmas they were facing in life and the very reasons they were putting these classic music pieces out.
Right.
And it's amazing to just understand them as people and then see the genius of what they were putting out there. And I think probably the same thing is true with any type of music.
Yeah, it's interesting. Classical music is really one of my favorite types of music. I mean, I may have been post-punk and so on and so forth, but classical really is where my sweet spot is. And an acquaintance of mine, sadly, has recently went home to be with the Lord. His name was Patrick Cavanaugh. And many years ago, he wrote a book called The Spiritual Lives of the Great Composers. I think it was put out by Zondervan. And in that, he talks about great composers, Mozart, Beethoven, Bach, and the list goes on. And he talks about their spiritual lives and what they wanted to do in and through their music. And in my book, Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture, I actually highlight two living composers. One is, his name is, Dr. Warner Hutchison, and he was the chair of music down at New Mexico State University in Las Cruces. There's actually a music festival named after him, and he lives in the Albuquerque area. And then the second composer is Frederick Fromm. And both of these guys are fantastic composers. So in my book, I interview them and talk about their faith and how they integrate their faith in their music. And so music is so profoundly important, I think, again, not only for Christians, but for humanity in general.
Brian, this is way off script, but I'm just thinking about the New Mexican influence to music. Have you enjoyed some of the music coming out of Hispanic culture and Mexican culture?
Oh, unquestionably, yeah. As a matter of fact, Jack Loeffler, who was one of the early jazz slash hippies that came to New Mexico back in the 60s. And he has spent a lot of time, recording and interviewing different, individuals, who make New Mexico music tick. And he put out a book several years ago that highlights a lot of the New Mexico music. And New Mexico is unique among, the rest of the, you know, the culture. It's a beautiful music, in New Mexico. And what's interesting about the two composers I mentioned, Warner Hutchison and Frederick Fromm, both of them are highly influenced by New Mexican culture. Mm-hmm. So they, in their classical compositions, have a lot of music that is influenced by New Mexico. As a matter of fact, another classical composer friend of mine, Michael Bowen, he recently, a couple of years ago, wrote a piece. I believe it was called The Land of Enchantment, and I went to its premiere, and it was this amazing piece, and he's performed it with the New Mexico Philharmonic. He's conducted it up in Santa Fe. So New Mexico not only has tremendous folk musicians, mm-hmm. you know, the people who are the salt of the earth and singing about New Mexico themes, but New Mexico also has a very unique art music culture with composers who are doing amazing work. And quite frankly, Jim, if I could be so bold to promote the book, mm-hmm. I'm almost more excited about these unknown composers. I mean, relatively speaking, we're not talking Bach or Beethoven here, sure. but you know, that I could promote their music through this book as I am talking about Robert Redford or Sam Shepard in the book. In Tilt, I talk about them as well, but really, I got really passionate in that the publisher said, yeah, promote these guys, these living composers. So Frederick Fromm and Warner Hutchison, I'm thrilled that their music is included in the book.
Well, I'm amazed to hear that these are New Mexicans.
Yes.
And I think just like our national parks in New Mexico, many people just never visit New Mexico. They never drive, you know, an hour out of town or 2 hours out of town, or they don't take a trip down to Carlsbad from Albuquerque and see just amazing things
yeah.
out there. And I think I have a sense that this is kind of similar.
Oh, Jim, I can't tell you. In the book, in Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture, I liken to, when I discovered Warner Hutchison to like finding a lost treasure.
Right.
I mean, that's literally what my analogy is. Like, boy, I stumbled on, X marks the spot and I found a treasure. And he's an elderly gentleman now. He's well into his 80s. And from him, I just started to discover all these other amazing composers. And like I said, Frederick Fromm, he's still a relatively young man, and he's been a church organist around time. He's a composer, just tremendous music. And then I talk about, right now, Michael Bowen, who used to be the conductor of New Life Symphony Orchestra here in town, mm-hmm. which was a Christian based orchestra. New Mexico has amazing music.
Yeah.
Not to mention the New Mexico Music Awards. Every year, New Mexico has its own New Mexico Music Awards, and they normally happen in May and June, but because of the COVID crisis,
yeah.
they've had to postpone it, but they're still going to announce it. And a few years back, Jim, speaking of my connection to music, Kenny Riley, who runs Rio Grande Studios, mm-hmm. and I recorded a song or two songs actually for, at the time it was Static Radio. Now we call it, Star 88, mm-hmm. but we recorded two songs for a giveaway and we put them on vinyl. And little did we know that it was going to be nominated for one of the best gospel Christian albums for New Mexico Music Awards. We were a finalist there, and that was called The Beautiful Gallows. Mm. And that's more of the rock side coming back out. It's definitely not. So if someone's going to go type up Beautiful Gallows and find a video or something, just know it's not classical. It is definitely more on the rock side of things. But I was really impressed that there was a music awards, New Mexico Music Awards. It happens every year, and again, normally it happens at this time. Interestingly enough, this year, a little jazz piece that I and myself, Stefan Merkel, mm-hmm. who's a German gentleman that lives here in New Mexico, we co-wrote a piece called Bolero de Burke. And we submitted it to the New Mexico Music Awards. And of course, they canceled this year, you know. So it's turning out to be nothing, but it really is an amazing outlet. And these are just things that all New Mexicans need to know. The profound level of music we have around us.
We are talking about the arts and the importance of it in culture. Brian Nixon is a doctor and a PhD. He's an assistant pastor with Calvary Albuquerque. He oversees the education and publishing for the church. He's written a new book called Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture. It's going to be released in June. We've got a lot more to talk about, Brian. You and I could fill a couple hours, but we'll only have about 45 minutes left. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
One of the things that's held up about this spouse that we should be looking for is that she has, this is Proverbs 31, she is not afraid of snow for her household. for all her household is clothed with scarlet. This has always been one of my favorite texts in scripture, and I've preached it all over the country. And just this idea of living in light of eternity, living in light of death, living in light. The Bible says, prepare to meet your maker, and only those who are ready to die are truly ready to live. And so what Esther gives for us is a perspective of backing up for a minute. Because when we're in a trial, it just feels like we're never not going to be in that trial. And there's no way through it. And no one's ever suffered like I've suffered. And God must not care. It's easy to get Naomi and turn ourselves into a bitter person.
For more fresh thoughts, go to LeviLusko.com.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Boudicke. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Brian Nixon, our resident musician, artist, dad, theologian. I mean, you have a lot of titles around here, Brian. Editor.
Yes.
Among others. Well, we've started our conversation talking about music and the importance of music to all people, really. But
right.
Boy, it's an amazing tool within the faith community
right.
and the Christian community.
That's exactly right.
When we were off air just now, I mentioned kind of a corollary that I'd like to make. I love non-profane, especially Christian comedy.
Right.
And the reason I do is because people like Jeff Allen, people like Jeff Foxworthy, they have something to say
right.
through their comedy, and they talk about real life. And they don't sugarcoat it.
Right.
But it is funny the way they present it. And my view is that is brilliant. And it's a lot more brilliant than just the typical profanity
exactly.
that you hear. And is that a corollary you could make or a correlation you could make with music as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, going to what you just said, when you use profanity, it kind of goes to the common denominator. There isn't a lot of thought to it. It's just, boy, I'm just going to go to something that is there. Whereas, as you said, more intelligent comedy, they have to find new and creative ways to frame something in a funny manner without just going to something profane or, you know, a common denominator. And I think that's the same thing with music. You know, in music, as you know, there is a lot of profanity and such in certain styles of music. But again, it just shows me that there's a lack of thought. And I shared with you, Jim, you know, that in high school, there was a sophomore English teacher I had. And when she would hear a kid swear in class or, you know, outside of class, she would always say, you know, that swear word just makes you sound unintelligent. What it tells me is you couldn't think of a different descriptive word or another way to express yourself. you just go to the common denominator and pull from this, and you don't sound intelligent. And that stuck with me. I thought, you know, you're so right. Just to swear or use profanity, it just doesn't sound like you've really given much thought to anything. You've just pulled something out of the bag and used it as emotion. And so I do think you're right. I think, you know, it be a comedy or music or any of the arts, to move away and to try to expand your thoughts and not just use cliche or things that are just always there really does broaden the appreciation and the level of intelligence brought to the field.
Well, I've been involved with Calvary Albuquerque now for over 40 years. And just in my experience here, I don't know if you ever knew Paul Scazzafava.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Paul played speed metal.
Right.
And he was a Christian band.
Right.
So he had this crazy ministry with this speed metal, and I couldn't even keep up with it. I mean, it was highly, highly technical.
Right.
Paul could play notes on a guitar about 8 million miles an
hour.
Right. It was crazy. And then, of course, former pastor at Calvary Albuquerque, Pete Nelson, had
right.
a band called The Cry.
Right.
And they got to be very well known in Christian circles. And, of course, you know, now we have battle drums.
Mm-hmm.
Our worship team at Calvary is putting out a lot of music. And I know you're involved with a lot of things that they do and have fellowship and creative interaction with them. So, yeah, music is amazing.
It really is. It is a gift from God that we're to use for, you know, God's glory and the good of human beings. And it is such a great thing. And, you know, one of the ways that people can use this downtime in the COVID, Jim, is to pick up an instrument, learn an instrument, even get online. If you go, well, I don't want to try to learn an instrument, learn about different composers. Maybe some of the composers we mentioned, local composers.
Mm-hmm.
Frederick Fromm has a SoundCloud, and that's free. You just go to SoundCloud, type up Frederick Fromm, and you could begin to listen to his amazing classical music. Warner Hutchison, you'd have to buy his CDs and so on and so forth. But you may not want to play an instrument or learn to start an instrument in this downtime, but you could use your time to educate yourself about New Mexico music or New Mexican musicians. And it would be just a fun way to kind of stretch your own area of interests if you are interested in music.
I know there's a lot of music services, but I use the iPhone or
right.
Apple Music deal. I pay $14 a month.
Right.
And I can download any song that I want to listen to.
Right.
And it's just there. And I think it's kind of silly, but I'm downloading songs every day and cutting out songs. And
that's right.
I mean, it's an amazing tool. It's a lot of fun. And
yeah.
I'm sure you can do that with Spotify
yeah.
and some
I do
of the
it with
others.
Prime Music and the same thing. I revel in learning about particularly new classical musicians or composers. I'm always on the lookout because, you know, in pop music, they're given to us. But, you know, sometimes you discover someone like, boy, this person's not known, but they're so good. A local pop musician who's from Santa Fe, his name's David Berkeley, and he's a very thoughtful singer-songwriter. And a few years ago, he put out this album that I thought was one of the best albums, not just in New Mexico, but one of the best albums in the country at the time. And so there's some tremendous local artists that are doing amazing things. We just have to investigate and become familiar with them. I mean, New Mexico, when you think about it, Jim, has a pretty rich music history. Maybe not always on the Christian side of things, mm-hmm. but as most people know, Buddy Holly recorded his early music in Clovis, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I was privileged to tour that studio. The Norm Petty Studio. As a matter of fact, that too is in the book, Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture. Jim Morrison of The Doors lived in New Mexico at two different times. His house is there on Candelaria across the street up from Sandia High School. Ozzy Osbourne's, one of his favorite drummers was from New Mexico. So there is a rich, deep history, not only of classical musicians that I highlighted earlier, but even popular musicians that call New Mexico home. So a lot you could discover in with New Mexico music.
And I think that would be so much more interesting than, hey, I'm all for watching a couple shows on Netflix or Prime, but man, if you sit there and you watch like 20 shows and waste 10 hours, there's
right.
so many more cool things you could be looking
sure,
at.
Sure. Again, I would recommend our listeners, A, to first of all, try to learn an instrument. I mean, with YouTube now, you could learn pretty much any instrument. There's free lessons all over the place. But if you're not interested in learning an instrument, learn about our local music culture. Go to New Mexico Music Awards and go, boy, I didn't know there was New Mexico Music Awards. Or learn about the various local musicians that play around town. There's some great, great musicians. As a matter of fact, you know, a lot of people in the secular realm, there's a group called the Shins. They came from Albuquerque years ago. And from Santa Fe was a group called Beirut. And Beirut were so popular in certain countries of the world, like Brazil, they had a Beirut Music Day where the whole country performed music from Beirut. And most New Mexicans go, I've never even heard of Beirut. Who are they? But in the broader world, they are very, very popular people. So it's interesting just to discover the type of musicians and music that is manifest here in our state.
Brian, you know a lot about publishing. Mm-hmm. You help Skip Heitzig publish all of his books mm-hmm. and edit and do all of those different things. But I understand you've published quite a bit of poetry yourself.
That's right. Yeah. I have published poetry throughout the years, primarily through a handful of publishing outlets. My favorite one's called Penwood Review. And Penwood Review is a publishing poetry journal for people of faith. And they kind of highlight, Christian and at times Jewish poets. And Penwood Review has published several of my poems throughout the year. And the fact that it's National Poetry Month right now,
uh-huh.
it's quite appropriate that we should be talking about poetry, because every year in April, the United States celebrates poetry. And of course, the sad news is with the COVID crisis, many people haven't been able to go to poetry readings and such. And some bookstores are, as a matter of fact, Bookworks last night, I think, did a Zoom live poetry reading. But poetry usually gets its fair share in April. But sadly, this year, it's not happening because of COVID-19. So poetry is incredibly, incredibly important art form.
I get the feeling that there's some men, I'll just talk about the men right now, that may be dating
mm-hmm.
or they want to say something nice to their spouse, and they're closet writers of poetry.
Right.
What do you need to know about poetry? How do you learn about poetry? How do you find poetry?
Oh, boy. That's a huge question, because, you know, what do you need to know about poetry? You know, there's... First of all, let me just say this. The Bible is one-third poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So if God took poetry seriously, we should take poetry seriously. You know, think about it. The Bible is one-third poetry. Of course, most of it found in the Psalms, but you could even look at the Proverbs as a subgenre of poetry and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So, but the Bible is one-third poetry. And if God so choose to inspire people to write poetry, I think Christians should be interested in poetry. So for the guy out there who wants to write a love poem to his wife, I say just do it. Mm. Just write it down. You know, there are some helpful hints online. You know, with the internet today, you could learn about rhyme or non-rhyming or free verse, or you could learn about all the different rhythmic patterns in poetry, and you could try to mimic those. Or you could just sit down and write what's out in your heart, because at its base, I mean, the most fundamental level of what poetry is just expressing what's on your heart, or expressing or trying to capture a moment in time. Mm-hmm. So when you think of Japanese haikus, which are very short, 14 syllable poems, they're just interested in capturing a moment of time. But then you could get to these very long poems, epic poems, that are trying to describe an event in history or something. And those have their place, but you could just sit down and start writing something that you love your wife, and here's the reasons why. It may not be the best poem, but it's a heartfelt poem. And like anything else, the more you practice at something, and poetry's no different, the more you practice at poetry, the better you will become. And the more you start to read about different poets and how to write different poems, the more acquainted you will be with the process of becoming a better poet. I know in my early years, I became fascinated by a poet by the name of William Stafford. And as a matter of fact, he too is in my book, Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture. But William Stafford was kind of an early teacher, if you will. I never had him as a real teacher, but I used his poetry to kind of figure out how to start constructing poetry. And then I started to read his books about writing. And so he kind of became a good teacher. So I'd recommend our listeners, hey, if you want to learn more about the writing process and poetry, maybe start with someone like William Stafford, who was the what's now called the Poet Laureate, but he was the Poet Laureate or the Library of Congress poet back then in 1970, since has died. And he had a Christian base to his poetry, and I appreciate William Stafford greatly.
You know, I don't know if you could categorize this as exactly poetry, but it's really written in a really rhythmic prose. There's an author years ago wrote three books, a trilogy called The Singer, The Song, and The Finale,
Calvin Miller. Yeah.
And it was really, really nice. I mean, it's a presentation of the gospel.
That's exactly right.
And it's an amazing book.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I would consider that poetry. I mean, you know, again, there's high poetry, there's low poetry. You know, a lot of people think lyrics to songs are poetry. And I guess they are a type of low poetry. I consider more lyrics than they are formal poetry. But the point is, all of that is a form of expression, and like music, it is from God. I mean, again, if God inspired one third of the Bible to be written in poetry, we as Christians should be interested in poetry.
Brian, you have a sample of poetry?
Sure. And being that it is, Poetry Month, April, we thought it would be fun to read one of the poems that is in my forthcoming book, Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture. And this book was originally, this poem was originally published in the Penwood Review, Volume 3, number 22. And let me give a little background to it. It's based upon a barber shop, Jim. Mm-hmm. And when I lived in Modesto, California, I went to this barber shop that you literally could get a haircut for $3.50. But it was, I guess, comparable to what we'd say in the food industry, a dive. It was a dive. And people would come and they would put photographs of their family or whatever. The whole walls were filled with photographs. And these two gentlemen, Paul and Jay, were very old. And I am not kidding. Paul would fall asleep while he was giving your haircut. So you would have the razor and then pretty soon you'd feel him go limp. And he would just start leaning on you, and the razor is just buzzing over your shoulder. And it struck me as such a fun place that I went there for years until we moved. And did you get a great haircut? No. You got terrible haircuts. You got the same haircut. Everyone got the exact same haircut. But I paid $3.50 for the experience of going to this barbershop. Sadly, both men have died. But this is a poem I wrote on their behalf, and it's called A Culture to Itself. Paul will drift away as he stands with hair remnants around. It's amazing to see scissors, comb, and razor. His eyes shut, and he leans forward just enough for the head of a voice to act as a pillar for REM. His quiet life and tie somehow intertwine. Jay can cut two to Paul's one. He will converse in a language all his own. He speaks of private investigators and the dead with new hair. I've seen him almost butcher a man, more blood on the razor than a surgery table. Escalon, where Derry was his childhood, sleeps well with him. Together they are a business of being, a history all their own. Many will come and provide appendages to their pages of story. For $3.50, a bargain of life is dished in a historical array. Pictures hang as sand on the wall, no names, just faces with hours of words. Together we sit. I wonder if Mr. McHenry ever pondered the life that would happen on a street named after him, in a barbershop where teacher and hobo, minister and taxi driver converge to smell the same talc powder and touch the moment where something but silence exists for the day.
I love it. Musician and poet Dr. Brian Nixon in studio with us this afternoon. We'll be right back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Here's Ava, the owner of Monroe's.
Dad, I think we're in deep doo-doo.
Is that why everyone keeps buying all the toilet paper?
Actually, New Mexico culture is rich. Plus, Monroe's has red chili, green chili, and the best customers in the world to go with it.
Boy, Dad, you must really love our customers.
I sure do, just like I love you, Stella.
Hey, what about me?
Of course you too, Ava.
Treat yourself to a delicious Monroe's meal. See Monroe's menu at monroeschili.com. Then call in your order to Monroe's on Osuna at 881-4224 or Monroe's downtown at 242-1111 for carryout or free delivery.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org or call 898-5520. Since 1970, the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has provided a loving, safe Christian home for children in need. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. When you give to Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, you help provide a home to children in our community who need a safe, loving environment. To find out more, call Albuquerque Christian Children's Home at 898-5520. Or give securely online at acchkids.org. That's acchkids.org.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8585.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. We'll give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part? We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part? You rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Dr. Brian Nixon. He oversees the education and publishing for Calvary Albuquerque. He's also an assistant pastor, becoming quite a friend of mine. I enjoy talking with you, Brian, because you're able to put in layman's terms really difficult theological concepts. You are an avid musician. You're doing, as you've just shared, you've written some poetry. And I know a lot of our listeners, Brian, have been painting their homes.
That's right.
Painting rooms. But we're going to talk about a different kind of painting because you're also a painter.
I am a painter. Back in my, high school, I for some reason, growing up here in New Mexico, before we moved to California, I fell in love with the arts. Arts, as most New Mexicans know, are around us. They surround us on a daily basis. So I became very, very impressed with the arts. And then when my family moved to California when I was in high school, I started to take art lessons. And I really became infatuated with the arts and different artists and so on and so forth. So I picked up art in high school. And then in college, I kind of switched more towards art history because the art history side of things and the painters themselves fascinated me. But it's been a practice that I have continued through all these years. So as a matter of fact, though I write poetry, I don't necessarily consider myself a poet in that I don't write it every day or I don't even write it every week. I write it more or less when I get inspired. But painting, on the other hand, I paint every week. I paint on my 2 days off, and I even paint sometimes in the evening. And with the COVID crisis, I've been painting a lot. And I work both in what I would call pop-based watercolor, and then I also work in oil and canvas. And they're really two different worlds for me. The oil and canvas tends to be more abstract abstract expression, and the watercolors tend to be more objective realism, and pop based. Really, as a matter of fact, with my watercolors, I'm influenced by Japanese sumi-e art, which is Japanese ink painting art. But I've put a modern pop twist on them. I use fruit labels and fruit stickers with them. So I paint every week, and it is really an outlet for me. Because I find when I paint, I get more prayerful. I get more thoughtful. I spend time. As a Christian, you know, you could just imagine, you know, even God, you know, while he's creating things, and not that he thinks on the same level that we think, of course, by any means, but painting, it's no wonder we in New Mexico have what are called santeros, which are religious painters who normally make saints, you know, Christians of the past. But it's a time where they pray and just get really thoughtful, and I find that as well. So on one hand, I do pop inspired watercolors, and then on the other hand, I do what I call avant-garde iconography, and both of those play important roles in my literally week to week life.
So A Visit to Santa Fe, mm-hmm, by Brian Nixon has to be an interesting event.
Oh, boy, my poor wife.
You walk into an art gallery that has, images of Father Sky, Mother Earth, a lot of Native American,
sure,
themes, spiritual kinds of impetus, or you walk into a gallery that has a lot of Catholic influences and things over time. Do you like evaluating and looking that?
I do. And what I try to do before I judge it, you know, what I try to do is just appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And let's say it is Native American. Let's say it has Native American themes. Before I try to judge and go, oh boy, that's, you know, fill in the blank. I try to look at the craftsmanship, the mm-hmm, artistry of it. I try to appreciate what I would call the basic form, mm-hmm, of what it is. And then I could go on later to meaning. And then I could go, well, what is it really they're trying to communicate? But I start with a fundamental factor in art. Like what, because I'm looking at it as an artist. How did they create that? What did they do? And the same is with Roman Catholic, you know, things. Obviously they're more Christian in their context than, let's say, some other art forms. But I'll look at it and I'll just look at the form and how did they do that? And I think that that's the beginning of just a basic appreciation of it. Now, I may not agree with the context or the content of what they're trying to get across, mm-hmm, but I could at least appreciate the form. Much like I said with music, at its base, all music is a gift for God. I may not like the lyrics of a particular song, but I could at least appreciate the foundational elements, maybe the beat, the melody, the chords, the structure of it, the creativity that goes into it, but the meaning of it. Maybe it's something that I would disagree with, and I probably wouldn't spend my money or time listening to it or buying a piece of artwork, but I could at least appreciate it on its foundational levels.
And there's amazing things. I know I went to a gallery in Santa Fe. I think it's actually called Father Sky, Mother Earth, mm-hmm, the artist, Native American gentleman named Valdez.
Mm-hmm.
And what I remember one piece that I saw where he took a piece of brass, a mm-hmm, flat piece of brass. I want to say it's 24 by 24 inches roughly, and he laid down white paint and gold paint and brown paint and black paint all in layers. And then he took a pin or a sharp object, and depending on how hard he pressed, he drew a picture, for example, of these two buffalo fighting on a cliff.
Yeah.
Again, Native American themes,
yeah,
but
great.
The way he brought out the light and everything was how hard he pressed through these layers of paint. Amazing.
Oh yeah, no, the technique and the craftsmanship and the artistry and in some cases the genius of some of these fellas are just amazing. So I go, Jim, you know, as you said, a trip with Brian Nixon, my poor family. I go to, I'm not kidding, 10, 15 galleries every time I go to Santa Fe. And I have my favorite. You know, one of my favorite is Charlotte Jackson. And there's no realism there. It's all minimalism and abstract and just, you know, color fields and so on and so forth. As a matter of fact, one of the articles in my book, Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture, is rooted at Charlotte Jackson's gallery. While I interview Max Cole, who is a legend in minimalist, painting. She basically just paints lines. And does it, but beautifully, and it's a very meditative process. So I interview Max Cole, who herself is in her 80s now, and she's shown around the world. I mean, she's just a legend in minimalism. But she herself was influenced by early Russian called suprematism and Kazimir Malevich, and he was the first guy that painted the square, because what he was trying to do is, being the fact that he was a Christian, he didn't want to paint the icon normally. He wanted to represent it and have people really think about what it is there. So there's this whole tradition of avant-garde iconography. And that's where I'm interested in my oil paints. I paint a bunch of squares and squiggly lines and such. But most people, when they see my art, they kind of like my watercolors, because they go, oh, they're fun, they're tongue in cheek, they're kind of humorous, there's some fun aspects to it. But to me, it's just all a big creative process, and it's beautiful. And you know, there's some wonderful Christian painters out there. One person I would really recommend all of our listeners to tune into, because he's really a profound thinker, and he's not here from New Mexico, but his name is Mako Fujimura, and he lives in New York. Several years ago, as a matter of fact, he was the Daniel of the Year for World Magazine. So we know the National Christian Magazine, World, it's a news magazine. Well, every year they pick a Daniel of the Year, and the Daniel of the Year is the person who has made a huge impact in their particular field. Well, Mako Fujimura was one that received that reward several years ago. And because he is Japanese-American, he uses a lot of Japanese sensibility in his paintings. And he did a illuminated manuscript not too long ago on the Four Gospels. But he has a website. You could follow him in his studio. He just really is, I think, the epitome of both a great artist and a godly, insightful man. He's also written several books as well. But Mako Fujimura, as a matter of fact, I just did an article on him, and he was part of a discussion group presented by the Veritas Forum. And he and with three other well-known Christian people were part of this group and just talking about creativity and the COVID crisis. And so if you go to ANS News, you could find my article on that as well. So it's he probably is the face, if you will, of Christian arts. But let me recommend an organization that many Christians are unaware of, SIVA. That's C-I-V-A. That's Christians in the Visual Arts. And SIVA is a very renowned, well-respected arts organization that highlights different Christian artists, but they also put on exhibitions. They educate people. And SIVA is really a wonderful outlet for Christians. So if someone is a painter or someone wants to educate themselves on Christians in the arts, SIVA is your place to start. I mean, SIVA would be the place, like ground central. I want to learn about more Christians in the arts. SIVA is the place I would recommend people to start with.
Great information. Dr. Brian Nixon on ABQ Connect. We're going to take a break, say thank you to some sponsors. We'll be right back in our final segment. We'll be back.
Do you have an old clunker or a good running vehicle? Donate to Joy Junction. It can help bring hope to the homeless. If it's in good condition, great. If not, no problem. Running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us and we'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Here's Joy Junction CEO, Elma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless families, men and women, for more than 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have a new additional space to give more dignity and privacy to those who come to our doors. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope.
Go to joyjunction.org.
Since 1982, Old Mill Farm and Ranch Supply has provided Valencia County with a multitude of services for animals and their owners. Along with organic feed and seed, Old Mill has Western ware, propane tanks, and more. Assorted breeds of baby chicks are arriving in March. We have the supplies you need to raise them right. Family owned and operated, Old Mill Farm and Ranch Supply's friendly staff are ready to assist. On Highway 314 in Los Chavez and the Riverside location in Rio Communities. You can visit them online at oldmillfarmandranch.com. Call-in orders and curbside pickup available at both locations.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
As a way to say thank you, Sergio's Bakery and Cafe are inviting frontline healthcare workers to stop by for a free donut or Danish and coffee daily all the way through May 15th. So Tuesday through Saturday, you can stop by 2740 Wyoming Northeast in the Fidelity Shopping Center to Sergio's Bakery and Cafe. They have all kinds of goodies, bread, donuts, Danishes, cookies, coffee, the best cannolis in town. So I want to remind you about that. If you want to give them a call, you can give them a call at 554-2602. And they have curbside delivery, or they are doing all the social spacing and everything, going and get all these goodies. I always hesitate to talk too much about how these things are so tasty, because
I
want to stop by and grab cakes and cookies and all kinds of stuff. Sergio's Bakery and Cafe, we hope you'll give them a look. And they have got some neat special thank yous for all of our frontline healthcare workers. Brian Nixon in studio. We've been talking about the arts. We talked a little bit about music, the importance of poetry, painting. And Brian, I want to start this segment by asking you, you know, as you're painting or as you're writing, tell me what's going on with you spiritually while that's happening. You mentioned that you're thoughtful and prayerful while you're painting.
Mm-hmm. I think in all cases, you know, I think creativity generally is it has to be. It's a very thoughtful. It's emotive. I think it's a combination of intellect and emotion. And and when they meet and greet, creativity, you know, comes from it. So when I'm writing a song, as a matter of fact, the Christian rock group I was in, we're having our 25th anniversary, so we're going to be releasing two new songs here soon. And myself and one of the other songwriters were working on a couple of pieces, and it's just interesting to try to think about, you know, these songs, and you're creating lyrics and you're trying to create an emotional outlet. But as I said, it's also an intellectual outlet. So it is a time to get prayerful, but it's also a time to you know, exude creativity, to give the world something that wasn't there before. I mean, in all these cases, you know, if you write a new song or a new poem, or you write a book, or you create a new dance, or you're dancing, you're giving the world something that's never been there before. And in a sense, we're mimicking God. God created and he gave existence something that wasn't there before. So I think creativity is one of the ways we're most like God. Mm. We're made in the image of God. We're imago Deo is what it's called in Latin, in the image of God. And we're very much like God when we are creating. You know, I mentioned that article I wrote on Fujimura. It's through a CIS news service, and it's called Coronavirus and Creativity. And not only is Emako Fujimura, but Lecrae, the rapper, was the musician who was on that. Mm-hmm. And I would recommend that you type up that article or go to the Veritas Forum. And they are doing a lot of things about creativity and the Christian mind and so on and so forth. And they're getting some of the leading people. I mean, come on, Lecrae, award-winning rapper. You have Mako Fujimura. These guys are just tremendous. They're top of their field. And so it's interesting to hear what they have to say. And you could start with by just reading my article, which is, again, it's just Coronavirus and Creativity, Lecrae and Fujimura at assistnews.com. And you could get a sense of what other people are having to say about the creative process, but particularly as it relates to being quarantined under the coronavirus.
Brian, as you talk about all these different mediums and flavors of music and painting and all of this, you know, I remember this past summer before we had COVID. So July of last year, mm-hmm. we had the Freedom Festival out at Isotopes Park. And Gavi is going to be one of the musicians, and he's a Christian rapper and stuff. And I'm an old fogey. I mean, I don't really like rap that much. But here was the fascinating thing. The bands are out playing. There's some great music. I remember Josh Baldwin was out singing. And shortly after he was done, I watched this guy named Gavi, who I had never seen, just start doing some Christian rap. And he jumps off the stage in the middle of the, you know, bass lines of Isotopes. And he runs up to the front of the stands. And I am looking from the path in the outfield at Isotope Stadium. Every young person in the entire stadium was standing up, worshiping.
Yeah.
They knew the lyrics like the back of their hand. And I thought, man, am I a bozo? This music is really touching a lot of people.
I love rap. And I know it's crazy, but as I pointed out at the beginning of the program, back in the 80s, we started to incorporate elements of hip hop and rap. Mm-hmm. And the record label that my two bandmates went and founded was a rap label. And so it was interesting that I too, probably in the early 80s, was like, I'm not sure about all of this. And then I experienced rap firsthand. As a matter of fact, it may sound crazy, but Public Enemy, Chuck D was the main rapper. You have Favor Flav and such, but Chuck D, when I first heard him and the command and the lyrics of what he was saying, I said, this is an important genre of music. And I was kind of won over by Chuck D and Public Enemy. And then, of course, there was also De La Soul, and there was a lot of other rap groups at that time in the mid to late 80s that I gravitated towards. But again, a lot of people say, well, I don't like rap. But what I would encourage people to do is just get to the fundamental factors. You could at least go, hey, I appreciate that beat. Mm-hmm. Or I like what's going on here, and look to those fundamental factors and then start building, you know, the fortress up. Because when you start with the basics, you'll begin to appreciate things more. And that goes for abstract painting. That goes for different genres of music you don't like. That even goes for different poetry. All the things we talked about today, start appreciating just the basic things with poetry. Just, wow, these are great words, or how they use their words. And then build up meaning from there. As a matter of fact, in my book, Tilt, Finding Christ from Culture, at the very end, I use TILT as an acronym, and TILT just stands for time, you know, spend time learning about the thing. I is investigate it, meaning, you know, really begin to understand it. And then you have the M, which is, the TILT,
the
L part of it, which is listen. And then the T is tell others about it, or teach others about it. But one of the things I encourage people to do in the book is to, you know, I give some basic handy help on how to understand a piece of artwork. And it's not always mine. I point people in the different ways. A fellow by the name of Terry Barrett, who is a art educator, art philosopher. And he says this: start with the basic subject matter, the medium. You know, what's the medium? The foundations. Is it a painting? Is it a dance? Is it architecture? Whatever. And then look at the form of it. You know, start with the basics and then start looking at the context of what's going on. And then you maybe jump to the meaning. So even things that you don't like, you could start with the foundational approach to how you could appreciate it and then grow from there. Because as you know, as you become more familiar or you understand something more, you'll begin to appreciate it more.
Brian, I see in secular music particularly, there are musicians that write their own songs. Mm-hmm. And they all seem to have longevity well beyond the talented singers that don't write.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating to go through that. I remember this past fall going to a Casting Crowns concert and seeing Mark Hall share his experience about being criticized because he's a Christian musician, and that wasn't going to be the legacy that he wanted. So he came up with this song called Only Jesus, and the lyrics say he doesn't need to leave a legacy. He just needs people to know about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And amazing musician, great writer, has written
a lot of good stuff. It's interesting that you do, that's an interesting observation, Jim, that a lot of the people that we value in our culture are not only singers or whatever, but they're songwriters, because again, they have left something that wasn't there before. Yeah. Whereas just a singer, not just, but a singer is just interpreting something that someone else wrote. Whereas a songwriter is bringing to the world something new, be it lyric, a new melody, a new song. And I guess it, in a sense, it maybe is more profound. It has a greater dimension. You think of Bob Dylan. You know, Bob Dylan not only was influencing culture back in 1963, but he's still doing it today. He just released that 17-minute song about John F. Kennedy. I mean, it's crazy. And people still listen to it and still love it. It's amazing.
Hey, Brian, I'm going to have to get you to give me all these websites. We're going to put this up online at abqconnect.online so people can re-listen to the show and have all the links that you refer to.
Will do. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Brian.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.